And now, your host for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
Yes, and how's it? Greetings. Welcome to Life from the Pulpit, the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, coming to you live and on location in Merced, California, home of the Merced Church of Christ. Again, this is the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, Life from the Pulpit. I am your host for this half-hour excursion in theology and other sundry matters, Nick Perez. Greetings and welcome to the program. It's been surprisingly quiet today. For the last several days, all you have heard about is same-sex marriage, same-sex marriage, same-sex marriage. I have, in view of that, and in order to answer that, I have been providing show after show after show, trying to come at this thing from different angles, including the previous episode where we looked at it philosophically, and I'm not done there. I was done with it yesterday, but I'm not done now. But it's... they just dropped it, the media. They just flat out dropped their coverage of this thing. I mean, it's phenomenal. They're hardly talking about it at all. Again, strangely, eerily quiet. Isn't that interesting? Well, because I know this battle isn't over, we will be vigilant. Now, as I mentioned, and you, hopefully you listened to yesterday's episode about the philosophy of this thing, and you can hear some of the other philosophical arguments. But I want to continue this thing. And again, try to come at this from a couple different other places, a couple different tracks here. Did you see the Time magazine cover, by the way? Time magazine's cover this week says that gay marriage has won. How gay marriage won. I'm not even going to dignify. The cover has two, it depends on which cover you get, either two women or two men kissing. I don't know about you, but even in even with two heterosexual people kissing, the Super Bowl ad, did you catch that one about the GoDaddy commercial? Yeah. That's uncomfortable. And yet, here we have Time magazine's cover, Gay Marriage Already Won. And I reported to you yesterday that talk show syndicated host Rush Limbaugh has essentially said the same thing. That, you know, regardless of what happens with the Supreme Court, this thing's going to be pushed through. Pew Research Center, 1 in 7 American adults say their initial opposition to same-sex marriage has turned to support. So that's where they're... Also, exit polls in November showed that 83% of voters believe that same-sex marriage will be legal nationwide in the next 5 to 10 years, according to bipartisan analysis of the data. Just a matter of time. So maybe, just maybe, Time magazine is accurate on that. I don't know. I don't want it to be. I don't want immoral behavior legalized. I mean, when I was growing up, my mom would take us, me and my sister, we were very young, she'd take us to the abortion clinic to march around it in protest of the abortions that were taking place there. I remember that. There were a number of young women who, because of a botched abortion, would have to be rushed over by ambulance from the abortion clinic to the hospital, which was right across the street. That kind of behavior, infanticide, is immoral. It's just wrong. And there's a number of ways of demonstrating that, not the least of which is, how did God view the sacrifices to Molech in the Old Testament? Weren't they abominations? Yeah. All right, get back on track here. Some of the philosophical arguments, just to sort of pick up where we left off. Let me ask this question. What about, where are all of our evolutionary friends at? All of our evolution Darwinists at on this thing? Because I want to know what the adaptive benefit is of homosexual behavior. But what's the adaptive benefit of that? Is that another step on the evolutionary track? I'm just wondering. So, it used to be that homosexuality was diagnosed as a medical disorder, a sexual health disorder. And there is such a thing as a sexual health disorder, isn't there? Isn't pedophilia a mental health, sexual health disorder? Bestiality, is that a sexual health disorder, mental health disorder? Sex with inanimate objects, would we classify those things as sexual health disorders? And as we talked about yesterday, if homosexuality goes against natural law, goes against nature, and it does, well then, wouldn't that make homosexual behavior a mental health disorder? Something that should be treated? No, it's just another orientation. Right, distorted orientation. How much longer until heterosexual relationships and heterosexual sex is classified as a sexual health disorder? I'm just wondering. That seems to be the track we're on. How much longer until that's deemed the mental health disorder? Yeah. No, that would never happen. Okay. I almost forgot. In fact, I did forget until I reminded myself. That you know, with all the hype and with all the hoopla surrounding the last election, a landmark election in which, what was it, 4 states legalized homosexual marriage? You almost forget that prior to that, 32 states had added amendments to their state constitutions banning same-sex marriage, homosexual marriage. You almost forget about that, again, because of all of the media coverage and everything that's happening. Let's see here. I found a breakdown here on an article about this. Just walk through the numbers. Number of states in which the state constitution prevents legal recognition of same-sex marriages, civil unions, or domestic partnerships. 20. Those include Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Michigan, Nebraska, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Dakota, South Carolina, Texas, Utah, Virginia, Wisconsin. Whew. Made it. Number of states in which the state constitution defines civil marriage as the union of one man and one woman. You can add to the previously mentioned list Alaska, Arizona, California, Colorado, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nevada, Oregon, Tennessee. Wow. As far back as 1998, states were voting on this. Alaska is one of those. Hawaii also had an amendment reserving the definition of marriage to the state legislature. Number of states which have amended their state constitutions to prevent legalization of same-sex marriage. Hawaii is added to that previously aforementioned 30-some-odd states. Number of states in which voters have upheld the definition of marriage as a union of one man and one woman in a statewide referendum. Maine, the people's veto of 2009, that's where you get that. Number of states where voters have either explicitly or implicitly rejected the legalization of same-sex marriage. To the previously mentioned, add Iowa. Number of states where marriage remains the union of a man and a woman under state law, 42. Number of states which currently, as of when this was written, May 2012, grant marriage licenses only for unions of one man and one woman, 44. You almost forget about the numbers. The number of states which have stood against homosexual marriage. And yet, in the media, you hear, I mean, it's unanimous, isn't it? I mean, for crying out loud, Time Magazine, they published an article. It's on the cover of their stinking magazine, saying that, I mean, it's a done deal. We've won. Homosexual marriage is, we won. Really? Because I've got 44 states in the union where marriage has been defined as a man and a woman. These states that just recently voted in favor of homosexual marriage, they're the new kids on the block. And by the way, there's states that are just as liberal as all get out, but again, all you hear is, we've won, we've won. California, again, it comes down to the will of the people. The will of the people in, what, 38 states? 32 states that have an amendment. They voted on that. They ratified it to define marriage as between a man and a woman. 32 states. The will of the people seems to be against homosexual marriage. And yet, isn't it interesting? I'm sure all these other states have all kinds of litigation tied up in the legislative process. But it's California. California, which they're going after, which has made it all the way to the Supreme Court. Why is that? I am in, because I live in Merced, California, I am in the big middle of this thing. This is ground zero right here for the homosexual marriage fight. Because as goes California, so goes the United States. If we've got it, it's only a matter of time before the rest of y'all states fall in line. That's just the way it goes. We're the most populous state. We have the most people. And isn't it interesting that the state with the most people in it voted against? By, remember, the slimmest, quote, slimmest of margins, same margin of victory that Barack Obama won the White House with, but you'd never hear them talk about his win, margin of victory being slim. But it was passed in California. The amendment banning, essentially, homosexual marriage. And that's the state, that's the case that has made it to the Supreme Court. Let's see, am I missing anything here? I don't think so. I think I've got everything, as far as I wanted to say in terms of that, covered. This seems like a good break to remind you that this half hour brought to you by Merced Church of Christ. Merced Church of Christ, located deep in the heart of the San Joaquin Valley, is composed of a people devoted to the Word of God, people devoted to the worship of God, and people devoted to the work of God. Our purpose is to see as many people as possible following as closely as possible Jesus with as united a fellowship as possible. She meets every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. for Bible class, 10:30 a.m. for worship, and again at 6 p.m. for evening worship. She also meets Wednesday evening for midweek services at 7 p.m. for Bible study. She is served by her preaching minister, Nick Perez, yours truly. Go online and visit www.mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org. Merced Church of Christ, a great place to call home. All right, some more. That's a pretty steep argument, if I do say so myself. The fact that the will of the people has been to ban homosexual marriage. But the will of the people is fickle. All you got to do is teach the children, raise up a generation who will eventually vote it in. So it's got to be rooted in something deeper, and that's why I've approached it from a philosophical approach to a good degree in the last two episodes, right? Last episode and this. Here's another way of approaching this. One of the most common responses that you will hear in the matter of homosexuality has to do with, hey, it's their choice. Love is love, right? Love is love, which is ridiculous. It's no. There are some forms of love which are out and out wrong. If love is love, why are we forbidding NAMBLA from their goals and from their purposes? Well, they're just love. In fact, for crying out loud, love is in their title. The North American Man Boy Love Association. So if love is love, well then why don't we just let all these men have their boys and they can just love one another, right? Oh no, I said this yesterday. No, that's just ridiculous. We're not even talking about the, yes we are. Because if love is love, then their love is just as valid as the homosexual couple's love. Equal. That equal sign has been flying around Facebook. People changing their pictures on Facebook to the equal sign. Well, then why can't... everybody wants to be equal. Why not have everyone equal? Including these men with their boys. Oh, no. Okay. Look, it's only... I've talked about this before. The normalization of sin. You take something which is absolutely taboo, you shove it into the realm of discussion, you contemplate its merits, and then eventually people buy it. That's what's happened with homosexuality. That's what's going to happen with pedophilia. That's what's coming. Mark my words, not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, but that's where we're heading.
No.
Yeah, that's the best kept secret that they don't want you to know about. So, getting back to this choice, this idea of choice, that's where I left off. It's their choice. They just, you know, they're free to their own desires because that's what they choose. I mean, that's just so flimsy. What if someone chooses to, well, Adam Lanza, he chose to march into Sandy Hook and, well, no, I know you didn't just go there, Nick. You're not seriously comparing homosexuality to, well, yeah, I kind of am. he made a choice. I wouldn't stop him. It's his choice. Again, I am illustrating the absurdity of this with absurdity. Someone chooses to be a child abuser. NAMBLA, that's their choice. These men choose to express their love with little boys. In fact, when it comes to those who are they're so anti-homosexuality that they actually manifest their anger by beating up homosexuals, which, by the way, I am by no means condoning that any more than I'm condoning child abuse or any. But they choose to beat up a homosexual person. It's their choice. Should we stop them? Would we merely shrug our shoulders and say, it's their choice? No. Merely stating the fact of choice does not address the possible objections toward that choice. And I'm going to tell you, the Christian objection matters. Because at the end of the day, we merely present the Almighty Lawgiver's law. There's going to be tension there when you present that. Because you are going heads up with it's the battlefield of worldviews. And when worldviews collide, yes, there is tension. But I would hope, brothers and sisters, that when you present the biblical case, you do so with respect, with gentleness, meekness, and overarching all that love. Love, by the way, love is not just love. Love is love, right? No. You see, there is a divine kind of love which supersedes all other loves. And that kind of love, captured, by the way, in John 3:16, God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There is the divine kind of love, that overarching singular desire to see Christ in another person, formed in them, formed in their heart, formed in their mind, and fully followed. We want Christ fully followed. All you Christians out there who claim to believe that the Bible is the Word of God, but come around and say, well, homosexuality is not a sin. You don't really believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Flat out, period. You don't. Because if you did, you would stop treating it the way that you are treating it. Would you take off your shoes because the ground on which you stand is holy? Stop playing fast and loose with the text and say what the text says. Don't invent arguments to get around what Scripture says, which I know we are prone to do. But if God says something is a sin, and you truly believe the Bible is the Word of God, then end of discussion. right? The bumper sticker, right? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, no, no. God said it, that settles it. And whether you believe it or not, that's the end of the case. Because there is no higher court of arbitration to which we can appeal, Supreme Court of the United States notwithstanding. All you Christians who talk about Matthew 22, all you got to do is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right. How does that manifest itself? You let anything just slide? You just, hey, you're okay, I'm okay, it's your choice, I'm okay, hey, love is love, equal, all that jazz, right? Or maybe, just maybe, love has the difficult conversations. Maybe, just maybe, love says the difficult things. When Jesus encounters the woman caught in adultery, she was guilty as sin. Because she was guilty of sin. And when her accusers walk away, because Jesus, hey, he who is without sin cast the first stone. When all her accusers walk away, does Jesus go, eh, you know, I love you too, and, you know, just go have a good time. Sorry you got caught this time. Don't let it happen again. No. Go and sin no more. I believe I said it in the previous episode. That is exactly what Jesus would say to the homosexual today. You're caught. You're guilty. In Christ, you can find forgiveness. But he puts upon you the burden of obedience. And he says, go and sin no more. He says a similar thing to a man that he healed, doesn't he? A man who was crippled. Just John 5. Just start reading in John 5, you'll run into it. A man he had healed, do you want to be healed? And after the healing, he finds him a little later and he says, stop sinning before something worse happens to you. You would think that the way some of our Christian brothers and sisters talk, and you who are listening, you know exactly who I'm talking about you, you would think that Matthew 22 and Mark chapter 12, where the greatest commandments are these, where you would think that that is all of Scripture, those three verses, that's it. That and coupled with Matthew chapter 7 verse 1, right? Judge not, lest you be judged. Yeah, but the same mouth who said, judge not, lest you be judged, just a few verses later talks about how we're supposed to be fruit inspectors, one. Two, in John chapter 7, what's he saying over there? Judge with righteous judgment. In other words, appeal to the almighty lawgiver, the great judge of all mankind, and agree with him. Stop fooling around with your own reason and logic, which is flawed because of the fall, and start lining up with what God says. Again, if you claim to believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and yet you come around and you say, yeah, but homosexuality is not a sin, you really don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Period. I'm out of time. But feel free to leave a comment on the website. I always like to hear what you have to say. Also, find us on Facebook, Life from the Pulpit Facebook page. You can like us there, and you'll get all our updates when I go live with a show or when I go and update the blog. Also, follow me on Twitter, @InPulpit, @N is a Nick Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Also, stop by the stop by the Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org, for plenty of sermon audio there for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Also, stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, lifefromthepulpit.wordpress.com. My commentaries there on Luke, James, and 1 John, all there, all available, all free, all for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. And, as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.